through it and see what happens.
All right, then.
Dawson Waldron put on the best canapes in the world.
more about our sponsors later. We'll get started. As I'm much more relaxed, I hope you're all much more relaxed. Our first speaker today is Brendan Scott, once again, doing a different topic, if you like, showing his versatility.
Thank you, everybody, for having me again this morning. Making generic statements about open source is that the answers to generic questions tend to be themselves quite generic. In a talk of this length, I'm actually not going to go into much detail about anything at all, but rather I'll be mapping out upon the fact circumstances which are involved. Making some observations about different aspects of open source. And the first thing I wanted to talk about is the participation model for open source is quite different from what you would find from a closed source arrangement. With a closed source, you've effectively got some sort of wall somewhere which says thou shalt not part than you would be with closed source. Where you fall in that spectrum will affect the risks that you're facing. So what's open source about? Well, open source is about ownership and control. When you buy some software, you can do it because it's my watch. I can change it in any way I like. But the same is not true of software that I might buy if I buy it as a closed source product. The reverse is true if it's an open source product. I can, under an open source license, the only right. Similar to what I discussed earlier about the active versus passive, but I guess I'm just taking the opportunity to reinforce it to you. Where you've got greater freedom, you often have to take more, as much as you need to worry about it when you're out on the public road, or indeed when you be required to license some of your software under an open source license. Now, a lot of people have said, or I hear often in the media, that if you open source it, you're losing your IP. That's actually completely false. It's just rubbish. Unless you take some GPL software from somewhere, you write a piece of code under the GPL. But that doesn't stop me the next day distributing it by itself under a different license. And that's important because people tend to think about one distribution like kills everything. Well, some other risks or some other downsides from open source is of the Linux kernel. There are a set of terms and conditions on which you can take that kernel, and it's very difficult to take it on any other terms and conditions. You might try ringing up the kernel developers and saying, look, I'd like to actually acquire this under a different license, but in fact for lawyers, because there's not a lot of negotiation involved in these things, software and then releasing it. So the fact that you don't have much scope for negotiation is not actually much of an issue for you if you happen to be one of those passive participants who's just taking a benefit. And the consequence of that is that you can't. That's sort of here endeth the general observations. Let me talk a little bit about some of the people issues and management issues that you might encounter when you're acquiring some open source, or alternatively, when your people are, without your knowledge, going ahead and acquiring it for dollars. If it costs less than $40, you can just get one of those petty cash fat, like it, or I'm a Microsoft person, or whatever. Sending out those messages can tend to mean that the people who are interested in open source don't tell anyone about their interest and just go ahead and do it regardless. So the other thing is technical people, it's not really their job. the point I'm making is if you want to get an interpretation of one of these licenses and how it's going to affect you under Australian law, don't go talking to your technical people because they probably don't know. What you find is that they are what the actual position at law is. The news groups that they've been reading or they've been talking to their friends about And I just sort of said, well, here's the words of the GPL, and this is what this says, and this is what you're doing, and don't you think that, you know, there's some relationship between that? And there were a lot of ashen faces in that meeting, and I got a lot of... So get advice from a... make it clear to the people who might be affected by them that they're not being made an example of. There's nothing special about them. It's just a policy which is actually applicable across the board, and this is a particular example of the application of that policy. I usually recommend that organisations which require a distinction between the open source that you have in your organisation and the work that you're doing, you're not going to be able to do that unless you've put in place these auditing mechanisms. Okay, well, that's another section down and dusted. I now want to talk sort of a lot of folk knowledge about IP commercialisation. There was a lot of, in IP, you've got these requirements to record your assets, to account for them, and in some cases to commercialise them if they have the right characteristics. Now, this idea or this word, if you look in the dictionary, doesn't actually have those brackets in them. It's just something that's been added over some of those intellectual assets without going to that cost and expense. And the level of cost that you incur when you commercialise open source is really determined by the level of your pride in relation to the code. I've talked to a lot of people about open source and... open source commercial 196, brackets 3, open source does not require the transfer of ownership of IP. It may do so depending upon how you want to structure things and whether you want to set up some channels and whether you want someone else to do it for you, but it doesn't necessarily require any transfer of IP. Actually, they vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and sometimes even within a jurisdiction is a reduction of costs rather than an increase in revenue. That can still be a benefit that you can get. I'm not going to stay on this slide at all, but I do want to give you a couple of examples. First example I want to give you is this product called MySQL, which is a data might change those responsibilities in some way. And that's what MySQL does. And they apparently get quite a lot of revenue out of this this dual licensing. So people who could acquire their product for free choose not to, and they choose to acquire it, by the way, but that's the one that I want to focus on. The second one, version of the product, you have to acquire it under a closed source license.